Welcome back. David Butterfield is joining us very, very shortly. Twitter poll is up at SEN Breakfast. How many matches will the Hawks win this year? 0-4, 5-8, 8-12, 13+.
Where are you?
I'm going to stay by my 0-4. I'm going to stand by it. And 64% of the voters are with me. 32% say 5-8.
And he had four votes. Give it a couple.
And 4%, 8-12.
I've got something for you to follow. Right over the next couple of months, Tom Brady signed a $375 million deal to join Fox's broadcasting booth next season. And there's a guy called Greg Olsen who's in that chair at the moment. So as soon as Tom comes in, he's gone.
He's nervous. Right, Greg's gone. Nervous.
Greg's been the best special comms on NFL this year.
It's a
significant problem.
Very good things about him. And they've got the Super Bowl, I think, Fox. So will they wheel Tom Brady out for the Super Bowl is the question that a few people are asking. It would have been a great topic for the scramble, that one.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. So just we'll hold fire for that next week, because ready now is David Butterfield. He is a fitness maestro. He's worked at North Melbourne, Collingwood and Carlton. He's also worked with the Australian Athletic Sydney Olympics team in 2000. Butters, thanks for joining us.
No worries, Kane. How are you kidding?
Going well, mate. Going well. Looking forward to this little chat. We've been waiting for you.
Kingy's flying. Kingy's flying. I love this area, Butters, and I think that some players don't take it seriously enough. But when you are preparing an AFL team, just a simple question, how important is the preseason? Do we overstate its importance or not?
Crucial. I think it's crucial. And what we do know, Kane, is that if you ever interrupted pre-season, more than likely you have an interrupted season. So it really sets a great foundation to have a good season. So, it's fundamentally the most really important part of setting up your season, really.
Well, so do you express that to the players? Like, is there a threshold? Darren Burgess of Port Adelaide said, you've got to get through 80% and you've got all the measures now. Is that about the number where to have success in the season, you need to complete about 80% of the pre-season?
Yeah, I would concur with that. I think that's one of the things that you want, that continuity. You don't really want to, you can't afford to have a soft tissue, or any significant injury, because it's going to actually limit your preparation, And the key really is going into the season and starting well. And if you're physically in good condition, it would translate. Psychologically, you feel well prepared as well. So, 80% is a good mark. I reckon you get more, even better.
Mm. Sam Walsh and Adam Treloar are probably the two names that spring to mind when we have this chat. But how do you see their progression back into football? So if they miss the first 4 weeks, do they do an 8-week preseason, a 6-week preseason? How long would you need from the moment they're right to go to get them to that AFL fitness as a midfielder?
Well, these guys would be pretty fit. They'd be doing a lot of cross-training and a lot of conditioning, but nothing really replicates that neck stimulation work that you do, that combatant work that you have to, be involved with. So they'd be pretty well conditioned. They'd be doing a lot of cross-training, a lot of rehabbing, but until you really get that combatant kind of functional kind of specific kind of load, it takes a few weeks, depending on the athlete, depending on the history behind them as well. Some could actually transition within about 4 weeks. Some may need a bit more. Probably some of the older players can transition because they've played so much football. But depending on the severity of the injury as well, so they may have to be kind of slowly graduated into the program. So if they can get up quickly, it's great. But they'll still need that match condition, which usually takes at least 3 to 4 weeks before you get to that level.
We spoke about the frustrations that I have with players such as Jake Stringer. You don't need to comment on him specifically, but have you seen examples of players that weren't great when they first came in, perhaps didn't understand what was required, but then were able to flick the switch? Christian Petrarca is a great example. Max Scorn I've used this morning. There'd be thousands of other footballers, but is that common for a player to come in, not fully understand what's required, but then be able to learn and change?
Well, you definitely, you're always, it's ongoing education, and you've got to learn and understand the whole kind of dynamics and the whole methodology of preparation, not from a physical point of view, to everything holistically, how you eat, how you sleep. Mm. You really want that accountability, and basically, this is a profession, this is what they do, it's how they live, live being an elite athlete. So it's what comes. It's a non-negotiable, really. It's when you come into a program, that's the lifestyle you've chosen. Okay, and your number one asset is your body. So how you eat, how you sleep, how you train, fundamentally is really important. It really comes down to accountability. You know, it comes down to your own individual accountability. And if you get those things slip, well, you're going to be compromised. And your longevity can be compromising as well. Mm. So, yeah, look, I think when we see these athletes that do it for a long period of time, that, you know, and this is in all sports, they've got a wonderful constitution and they've got this wonderful accountability on themselves as well.
You were with Mick at Collingwood when you changed the interchange, really. I mean, you just started to rotate more heavily
ruined
than any
the
other
game.
Team.
Ruined the game, Butterfant.
So there's two schools of thought. I'm with lowering interchange because I think that would slow the game down and have less pressure on the ball, which would increase skill level. Others would say if you restrict interchange, injury rates will go through the roof. Where do you sit on what would happen to the game when you restrict interchange, if they did?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think it can just go back to the fact and all clubs, you know, collect the data and look at it closely. So basically, you remove the subjectivity and think, well, okay, when we have high interchange, what actually did happen? Well, there wasn't really an increase in injuries. You know, we didn't notice that. We actually saw the opposite. We found that we were able to protect players, whereas the velocity and intensity of the game went up as well. So, so did it really ruin the game? But actually, what we want is our best players playing for longer, you know, really, and seeing the quality of the game as well. So it definitely favours the athlete who has more endurance characteristics. If you lower the interchange, the onset of fatigue won't happen as quickly for those type of athletes. Whereas the more dynamic athletes will actually be more predisposed to injury. So that will change the kind of profiling of athletes, recruitment as well. You know, so you know, basically it will suit, you know, the endurance athlete way more than the explosive athlete.
Those players that you're talking about that have missed pockets of the preseason, Butters, we heard Ryan Pappenhausen, who was on SEN recently. He spoke about a return date versus a return to performance date. So they're two different things. You might be back at round two, but you're not be yourself till round six, seven, eight. You know, there's a lag period. Have you got an idea with your experience in AFL football over, I'd say, close to 25 years, is there a rule of thumb, a level of weeks that you think that players take to get back to their best?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think once again, it comes back to the type of injury, but that's a really good point what he's raised there. And I think that depending on the player, depending on the actual injury as well, and I think, as we know, injuries like ACLs, knee reconstructions, you very rarely see that, you know, the year they come back, they really have that dominant influence. It might take a good half a season to get back going. It usually takes a whole season, really, if they miss a whole year of football. You do see some kind of freakish kind of athletes come back and they really have a great influence. But depending on the injury, depending on how long it takes, so, you know, some have the ability to kind of get up and going within four or five games. Others would need 10. You know, there is a psychological component there as well. You're feeling that level of confidence and comfortability through traffic as well. You know, particularly if they had recurrent injuries as well, you know, there's going to be a little bit of inhibition as well in performance. So it does really depend on the injury and it does depend on the athlete as well. There is a mindset associated with that, I would say.
Now, you've done a lot of different sports. You were the number one man. You were the brains behind the approach to the 2000 Sydney Olympics. In your opinion, is it possible to win the Australian Open with a 3-centimetre tear in your hamstring playing every second day for 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. You know, like, if he had, I mean, if it's the kind of the typical kind of bicep femoris tear that you have, it's in football, I've never seen that. But if he's had a kind of a facial kind of tear, it's not, you know, right in the belly. Depending on the actual diagnosis and what the tear was.
I think it would be. David, thank you so much for your time, mate. There's many more questions we could have asked you. We're a touch up against it with time, but we appreciate you joining us on Fireball Friday. Thanks, mate.
Good idea, Cozzy. Thank you.
On your butts.
Fitness maestro David Butterfin there. There's lots more to come.
Doing great things in the charity space. So if you get a chance, throw some cash his way.
Yep, awesome, brilliant. Check that out on Google. We'll put a link on our social media as well.